That's a great song. All right. Children are dismissed with Miss Amanda. I think. That's okay. The title of today's message is The Secret to a Richer Life. The Secret to a Richer Life. In our story, we got a man named John. And John was in the back and he was complaining about something. And somebody reminded him of the old saying, well, money can't buy happiness. And you know that's true, John said, but it can buy first-class tickets on a plane, and that's basically happiness with free meals. So, some of y'all get that joke on the way home. All right, this gospel that we're going to be back into today, the book of Matthew, is written by Matthew, a former tax collector, also known as Levi. It was written between AD 50 and 60, and he left everything to follow Jesus. Matthew 6:16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today and for your word. We ask, Lord, that you would bless it, that you would anoint it in us in our minds, that we may chew on it like a cow chews cud, that it would be continual throughout the week. And we thank you, Lord, that in your word we find truth and we find life. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, at first he talks about fasting, and you know Christians should fast. And that'll help create a rich relationship with God, whereby he takes care of all of our needs. Christians should fast. Matthew 6:16. And when you fast, not should you fast, but when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, That is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting, except your Father, who knows that you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. You know, the subject of fasting is a fascinating one to the modern American Christian. We don't think about it. It's something that really isn't practiced anymore for the most part, when in reality it's an important spiritual discipline. And it was practiced by Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days and was practiced by the disciples after Jesus ascended. It's one that we need to take up again for this modern day and age. And I think if we did that, we would see breakthroughs. Fasting, what is it? Well, it's simply abstaining from food for a time in order to take that time that you would spend eating and spend it in prayer. You know, when they had meals in the Old Testament, during the time of Christ, it would take hours because it was a social thing. And so you would take that time if you were fasting and you would simply spend it in prayer, spend it with God. And the reason for Christian fasting today are many, but it's simply to see a breakthrough in your life. That's what it's for, to see a breakthrough. Whether you're struggling with a particular temptation to sin or you're fasting for God to supply a need, you can get breakthrough by simply adding it to your Christian walk. Fasting is important. Did you know that abstaining from food will actually increase blood flow to the brain? I found that out. And it makes you more alert, at least in the short term. And God may have that for a purpose. And perhaps you can pray better if you can think better. Maybe it increases your ability to reason and your ability to hear from God. So what is Jesus talking about here? Well, he's calling out the religious for making it obvious that they are fasting. They wouldn't clean their faces. They wouldn't brush their teeth or comb their hair or look good. They purposely would contort their faces and look down and pouty and serious and depressed, and all in an effort to show how pious they were to those around them. Look at me. Look how great I am. I fast. Jesus says that recognition that they get is all they will ever get out of it because of their hypocrisy. They weren't fasting for God to perform a miracle or to change their lives or any of that, but they were fasting to receive recognition. By not making it obvious that you're fasting, you're showing humility before God. And what does it say? It says he will reward you openly. Let me tell you a little story. Little Johnny, not that little, but Johnny decided to start fasting, but he quickly discovered a major flaw in his plan. You see, he lives across the street from a bakery. And he's walking home after work trying to be strong, but his stomach is growling like an angry raccoon. And he passes by the bakery window and he sees fresh cinnamon rolls. And they're glistening like they were painted by the hand of God himself. And his brain goes, seafood diet, you're on a seafood diet. And he thinks, right, I see food and then I eat it. And he says, you know what, I better just walk away quickly. Except in reality, he walked away very slowly because he was sniffing the air. You see, fasting is important. And I thought you'd like that little joke. All right. Number two, have a rich relationship with God. Have a rich relationship with God. Did you know you can have a relationship with the Almighty? Matthew 6:19 says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. You know, you ever heard you can't take money with you? Well, Jesus is trying to point out the futility of storing up your treasures here on earth. You know what the American way seems to be that I've noticed lately? It seems to be he who dies with the most toys wins. But in reality, you could have done so much more for the kingdom of God than just dying with the most toys. You see, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We've got to watch out what we're doing. Sometimes we let our stuff lead us and not God. We let our toys define us. And it can be very subtle, that shift in our hearts. And we've got to watch our hearts. You see, we begin to look with our eyes. And the next thing you know, you're out of the church and you're doing something else instead. I knew a man once that every time we would get together, he talked about Jesus and the people that he would talk to that week about Jesus. And then over the course of time and even years, he talked more about his stuff, his new ATV, his new camper, his new truck, all of his new stuff. You know what I didn't hear anymore? I didn't hear anymore about Jesus. It wasn't coming out of his mouth anymore, and it was a subtle shift. That's why we need to examine our hearts and make sure that we're in the faith, as the scripture says. And this is what Jesus means when he says, your eye is like a lamp to your body. What you start looking at is what you're going to desire. And eventually your whole being is about your desires and not God's desires. We got to be careful because a whole church can get like that. Revelation 2:4 tells us, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. You know, when we look at the writings of the Puritans, they've got a few themes in common. And one of them is that they knew they were not going to receive their reward here on earth. So they worked for their hereafter, not for the here and now. They helped the needy and the poor. They helped their brethren in need as much as they could, and they worshiped God as much as they could. We need to make sure that we don't lose sight of eternal things that are important. We need to ask ourselves, does this have any bearing on eternity when we go to do something? And it reminds me of the parable of the barns. If you don't remember that parable, you can find it in Luke chapter 12. And it says this. Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. And he said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Do you have a rich relationship with God? If not, you can. Number three, don't worry, trust Jesus. Now, anybody remember that old song, Don't Worry? Yeah, well, don't worry, trust Jesus. Matthew 6:25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. You know, there are basic necessities in life that people need. And I've found that there are things we think we need, but we really don't need them. Jesus says God will supply your needs, not your wants. Although it's nice when he supplies some of those wants too. Philippians 4:19 says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So Jesus says to not let your thoughts be completely dominated on these things, knowing that God is for you and he will make a way. Psalm 37:25 says, once I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. Why are the Gentiles so consumed by these things, do you wonder? Well, it says because they're unbelievers. They have no faith in God. You see, they have no one they know will take care of them and their needs. So it's hard for them not to be consumed by it. Whereas we know that we have Jesus and we know that God will take care of us. So what should we do then? Well, we should seek the kingdom of God above everything else in our lives. We should live righteously and God will take care of the rest. That's what the scripture says. Black ink, white paper. Or if yours is digital like mine, little pixel dots on your screen. But we need to make sure that we're seeking the kingdom and living righteously. If not, then we should have no expectation of God taking care of us at all or of our needs. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 4, we find the story of a widow who had nothing but a small jar of oil. And when she brought her need to the prophet Elisha, what did he do? Well, he instructed her to gather empty jars and vessels from her neighbors and get as many as possible. And miraculously, as she began to pour into these vessels, that small amount of oil that was in that jar never ran dry until all the empty vessels were filled. God can take our minimal offerings and multiply them to meet our needs abundantly. Do you believe that today? Just as he provided for the widow, so too will he provide for us. God will provide. So what should we remember about today? Well, fasting is an important tool, and it's one that we need to take more into our lives. I don't know why it works, but I know it works. You know how I know? Because I've done it. I can't always fast food, but I can fast other things that take up my time. And that's because I'm a diabetic, type 1 diabetic. But we should fast. And when we do, we need to make sure that we have a relationship with God. That our relationship with God is right. And understand that he will take care of all of our needs. He will take care of us in all that we do. As the ladies come,